The following program is a presentation of the FlyPod New Media Network. www.theflypod.com.
You are listening to Super Chat, the official school information podcast for Sunman Dearborn Community Schools. Thank you for joining us today. I am your host, Gary Puckett. And today my guest is Superintendent Dr. Andrew Jackson. Our podcast comes to you on our nationwide media network. We operate with a team of 35 individual show hosts around the country. We also have 80 syndication partners and 17 different media domain platforms. We furnish on-demand media programming for over 3,300 small communities across the nation. We offer the Super Chat show format for school districts anywhere in the country. However, this edition is produced solely for the benefit of the stakeholders of Sunman Dearborn Community Schools. Andrew, welcome back to Super Chat. For today's show, I'd like to focus on legislative updates because what takes place in Indianapolis in the legislature can many times impact schools, and I think there are some major things happening as we speak. What can you share with our listeners regarding House Bill 1001, which, of course, deals with the state budget?
So for our listeners, as a reminder, I know for every 2 years, the state creates their budget. They do a biennium budget, so it's a two-year budget. So on the odd number years, it's a long session, and the first bill introduced every year in the House for the budget session is House Bill 1001 or 1001, which is always the budget bill. It starts in the House, then it goes to the Senate. If those two don't agree, they have a conference committee, and then they come to a resolution, they both approve it, and it's signed by the governor. That is a very important bill to schools because that determines what's called our state tuition support. We receive a dollar amount per student who is enrolled here, and then we also have some additional funding as well. For example, special education, ESL students, we get money for academic achievement, which is based on how many students receive their Indiana College Core, their associate's degree, or college credit in high school. We get CTE funding based on enrollments. All those add up to basically the amount of money we get, and we have to watch that very closely. We typically get 3-4%, what we call new money or an increase year over year, but it has really fluctuated in the last 5-6 years because of all the various things we've been dealing with. We had, you know, a recession years ago that we were dealing with, and we had COVID. So it's really bounced around a lot. So this year, they based the first draft of the budget on a revenue forecast from the state that they put out in December. So they have some analysts and economists that look at our revenue forecast, and they say this is how much the state can expect to receive in revenue. And then they update that in April towards the end of the session. And so when they updated it this year in April, they determined they had a $2 billion shortfall. So through all of that, they had to redo the budget, and then they finally come up with a solution, and they provide us with a document that's called a budget run. It shows every single school corporation in Indiana and how much money they can expect to receive, and it's based on certain assumptions of enrollment. We will be receiving $1 million additional funding on the education side. However, what they did do with it is they took $580,000 that we normally get in a separate line from the state from 2 years ago when they got rid of book bills in Indiana. We no longer charge for book bills across the state in Indiana. We had been doing that for a while. So they gave us that funding in a separate line that we could use pay for book bills. Well, they've decided they're going to include that in the tuition support as already built into the formula. So of that $1 million, almost $600,000 of it is actually money that was in a separate line. So in reality, we're getting about $400,000 more in state funding for the next year. And then the year after that, another about $500,000 more. That sounds like a lot of money. It is a lot of money, but in terms of an increase, it's minimal. For us, it's less than 2% each year. It's about a 1.5% increase for the next 2 years in terms of the funding formula. And that is what that supports our education fund that pays for our teachers, our instructional assistants, you know, the supplies, the instructional supplies, those types of items is all out of the education fund. And primarily that's supported by that state tuition formula. So we are going to have to figure out how we're going to manage our budget with a very small increase. And it was quite a bit less than what we had projected back in January.
Well, the other legislative item I did want to address with you is Senate Bill 1, which is centered on property taxes. What is the essence of this bill, and how will it impact schools and how they are funded?
Another great question, because these two act together because they're both funding bills for schools. So we have House Bill 1001, which we talked about, which is our education fund. The other one is Senate Bill 1, which was a property tax reform. And what they've decided to do is the state legislature decided to reduce property tax for residents, for business owners. And that really affects local governments, municipalities, cities, counties, townships, and particularly schools who rely heavily on property tax. So our operations fund and our debt service fund are nearly fully funded through property tax. Debt service is 100% funded through property tax. Our operations fund is about 80% supported through property tax. And so we are actually going to see a reduction in the amount of money we receive in property tax for the next 2 years compared to 2025. In fact, we thought we were going to get a $400,000 increase in property tax for 2026. We're actually going to see a $700,000 reduction in property tax for 2026, followed by another reduction in 2027. So we will not receive the same amount in property tax that we're receiving this year in 2025 until we get to 2028. So when you take the education fund that was much less than what we thought was going to be, and now the property tax, which is actually a reduction in property tax, I think the talking point that our listeners will hear out that is that schools have been asked to take less of an increase. Well, that's not accurate. That is a very misleading talking point. In fact, there's 290 school corporations in Indiana. 171 of them are taking an actual cut, not a reduction of the increase, but an actual cut. They are receiving less money in 2026 and 2025. And I understand the need to provide property tax relief. I know there's an issue across the state. I would say some in Dearborn has been very responsible, and over the last 5-6 years when this is becoming an issue, that the amount of property tax we received has increased by an average of 3-4% year over year, just really probably slightly below inflation because inflation has been high. And our AV also has just grown by about 4% a year over year. In fact, 1 year it didn't grow at all. And I know some other places in the state had huge AV growth. That's not the case locally. So it really feels like we're being punished for a statewide problem, which we're not experiencing. And so some in Dearborn is actually, in terms of the amount of money we're losing, the dollar amount, we are the fifth highest in the state dollar amount we are losing reduction in 2026. And the second highest percentage in the state we are losing. Again, for our listeners, this is not less of an increase. This is a true reduction, which funds the classrooms, the teachers, the light bills, et cetera. So we've had to basically adjust our five-year forecast and make some changes. So at the May board meeting, we presented our updated five-year forecast. So as our listeners probably will remember, we've talked about our five-year forecast before. Every January, we have to have a board meeting that talks about fiscal indicators, which was a new state law a few years ago. And we had been providing a five-year forecast for several years. And so we just adjusted our five-year forecast to meet those, new laws in terms of the fiscal indicators. So back in January, we thought conservative assumptions that we would see 3% increase year over year for our education fund from the state and about a 4% increase on property tax on the operations side, which is about right around the cost of living inflation, or very conservative, reasonable assumptions. And then based on that, we felt like we could continue to give raises to our staff. We could continue to grow our cash balance a little bit. And we thought at the end of 5 years, we would have about $12 million in cash balance, which is a reasonable amount when you think about overall between the two education and operating operations fund. We spend about $40 million a year. So we would have a cash balance of around $12 million with about $5 million in our rainy day fund. And that was making certain assumptions, which you have to make on the revenue side and the expense side. An example, one metric we track is our starting teacher pay. We're at $49,000, the highest in southeastern Indiana, which was one of our goals in our strategic plan. And that what we modeled with those types of raises, that as a comparative metric, by the end of the five-year forecast, we would have been around $54,000 starting pay for our teacher. Now, all that has to be negotiated, but that's just the data we use to model, you know, the possibilities. Well, because of the changes, we're going to have to make some reductions. Overall, we now know that between education and the operations fund, which that's the part that's hurting us the most, is a reduction in property tax, which we have never experienced at Summit Dearborn. That's kind of unheard of across the state that you actually would receive less funding in property tax. So we had to respond to that. So between those two funds, just a few months ago in January, we are now forecasting to receive $1.5 million and $1.6 million less in those two funds for the next 2 years. So a total of $3.1 million less in funding for the next 2 years based on the biennium budget and the new property tax laws. We have to respond to that, Gary, obviously. So, you know, as I mentioned in the board meeting, we are reducing, making some reductions to be responsible. Our cash balance won't grow. It'll stabilize, but we are making some reductions that are having the least impact in the classroom. And so one is we had three literacy coaches as part of a state grant. And the first year, the state paid two-thirds. We paid one-third. This last year, we paid the current year. We are paying two-thirds. They're paying one-third, and then the grant ends. We were discussing whether or not we're going to keep our literacy coaches, which was helping us transition to the science of reading. That cost to us is currently two teachers. Next year, it would have been three teachers. So those literacy coaches have been informed that we're not going to continue that program and that they will go back to, into a teaching position where they're licensed. We are also going to decrease one additional elementary section across the district as we kind of monitor our kindergarten and elementary numbers. We do have a little bit of a declining enrollment at elementary, so we're reducing one elementary and then two high school positions that we're reducing as well. Again, that's a situation where we used to have a class at the high school that taught both math and language arts SAT prep class. That is no longer a required class. So we are reducing one math and one language arts teacher at the high school. And that teacher that was teaching that SAT prep elective can pick up those half of those sections. So it's not a huge change in terms of our class sizes. And so to give you an idea, at the elementary, even with reducing the one section, our elementary class sizes average this year is 22.6. So it'll actually go down to 22.3. So really stabilizes, so it doesn't make much of a change. At the high school, our language arts classes are currently 20.6 average. It'll go to 21.1, so very little change there. And then the math classes will remain around 20. So our class sizes, again, are in the low 20s, so it's not having a huge effect. We're also going to have some additional staff cuts for the 26-27 school year, and that could be non-certified, it could be classified, it could be certified. We're not sure what area, but $200,000 there. And then we're going to reduce our software expenditures and supply expenditures by $100,000 each. So making those changes and then lowering our assumptions for raise from a 3% to a 2% assumption, continuing with our health savings accounts, deposits that we do, and increasing the amount we pay towards insurance as that goes up as well. So keeping those assumptions similar, except the raises go from a 3% average to a 2% average. We're able to stabilize our cash balance. It does grow a little bit, but instead of being at a little over $12 million, it's basically a little under $11 million, $10.8 million. It's less, obviously, but It still provides us a cushion for if there's other issues in the future. It does make some assumptions, like I said, about a future staff cut that we'll have to make a decision following school year, but it'll give us a year to kind of see where we stand. And all these are estimates based on the Legislative Services Agency. So those are estimates right now, and they could be worse, they could be better. So we can take a year to see what that looks like. But in terms of a comparative metric for our teachers, our starting pay, instead of increasing to $54,000 over the next 4 years, is probably going to be closer to $51,000. Again, that would have to be negotiated, but that gives you an idea of how it changes. So we're in a really strong financial position at Summit Dearborn, and we've worked really hard to get there. Back in 2017, we put our first strategic plan in place, and we had two items in there directly impacted by this year's legislation. One is to maintain a cash balance between 30 and 35%. So that was taking our operations and education fund and maintaining a cash balance between 30 and 35%. We will not get to that over the next 5 years based on the current legislation and current forecasting. The other was being the highest paid teachers in southeastern Indiana. We achieved that. I'm not sure if we can sustain that over the next 5 years because we are going to have to lower our raises. And the frustrating part, Gary, is that, you know, the state has been pushing us to pay more, to pay more. In fact, in a legislative session, there are hundreds of education-related bills, and about 150 of them or so. I'm only focusing on the two very impactful. One of them also came through that we have to have our starting pay next year up to $45,000, and the total amount that you spend on teacher pay salary and benefits has to be 65% of the money you get from the state. Well, we're already at 49,000. We're well above that. We've been trying to meet those goals and stay ahead of it. And we paid 72% of our education funding from the state goes for teacher pay and benefits. So we're well above those benchmarks. I feel like we've done all the things the state legislature has asked us to do. We've been reasonable about our AB growth and our levy growth right around inflation. And it just feels like we are really being punished for a statewide problem. And it's really, they didn't take the time to really look at it district by district and come up with a solution that wouldn't hurt schools the way it has. We'll respond to it. And for our parents and for our students, I don't think they'll notice a difference. You know, we'll still have, we're preserving our cash balance. We're not dipping into our reserves. We're protecting all of our programming. The class sizes are staying somewhat stable, go up just a bit. But overall, I think for our students and parents, they won't notice a difference. But it's just unfortunate. Feels like it's we've had to take a couple years step backwards on what we're trying to do here at Summit Dearborn.
Well, it will be interesting to see how things play out longer term, you know, economic conditions being what they are, you know, globally. But I speak with many schools that I know that they struggle already, and they've not been as prudent at a board level in, you know, planning for this rainy day stuff. But nonetheless, it's important that stakeholders remain well informed and understand what is going on with things that impact their schools and their community at large, whether they be positive or negative. This has been a good conversation today, and you've shared some very valuable data and changes. And I want to thank you, Andrew, for joining me once again here on Super Chat.
Thank you, Gary.
So I have been your host, Gary Puckett, and we are happy that you have opted in to listen today and plan to join us here monthly, year-round. So until our next show, this has been Super Chat, the official school information podcast for Sunman-Dearborn Community Schools.